In this episode, discover your target customer's language of love.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery.
Hey, what is up? Look, if this is your first time checking out the podcast, you're going to discover that I bring you the latest news, the latest tactics and information in the world of digital marketing and sales and events. And I show you how to really pump up the jam, pump it up on your business goals by adding the power of video. And anytime I bring you a news story, you know, anybody can give you a news story, but I'm also going to share a business takeaway that you can use to boost your goals. And well, we're going to do some of that in this episode right now. And anyone can really tell you the news story, because all they're doing is really regurgitating what somebody else is doing. But I'm going to explain what this means and how you can make money off of it and do it in accelerated rates. Aight? So let's get started and let's start breaking this thing down. By now, it should be obvious that video is the most powerful business tool for convincing and converting. And yet, so many people get video absolutely wrong. You know, when most people get started with video, their first thought is, who do I know? Who do I know that has a camera? And they think, well, there's that kid down the street. He has a camera. How about that videographer that filmed Faith's wedding? She could probably do it. Or the guy who has that television production company who used to work for the TV station. What about him? He could create our business video. And among all of those people, who do you think has the most experience working online? The kid with camera, the wedding videographer, the production company, who has that the most experience of being on the internet? Well, none of them have work experience on the internet, but the one with the most internet experience is probably that kid with camera, because all the other people that I mentioned are products of a different generation, maybe of a television generation, or the wedding videographer's a documentarian, really. The trick isn't finding someone who knows how to make a video and to make it awesome. Anybody can make a video. Just look at the crap that's on Instagram, right? The video is not the hard part. The real expertise, and trust me when I say this, I know how hard it is to get the right lighting. I found lighting when I was a one-man band to be a bit of a confusing task, because there's a lot of different things going on with lighting. But composition and setting up the camera and the right camera angles and depth of field, like all of that is important. But finding the person who can lay out the digital marketing strategy and then execute it, that's the most important part, right? You have to start with an end goal. What is that end goal? Well, think about your business. Is it a desired sale or a conversion? And then work backwards through the strategy. That's how we do it every time. You got to lay out each piece of the strategy before any content can be created. And when most marketers and most videographers start laying out what they're going to do with video, they start in the content creation phase, which is absolutely wrong. And then when their project doesn't convert, they hope nobody notices, or they hope nobody adds up where this ROI went. And it makes me really sad, because a majority of people that I've influenced over the years will find me or reach out to me after they have already done their own video project and it failed miserably. You know, on this table right out here, I'll post a photo of it, is the blueprint for a video project that I'm working on right now for my own thought leadership tactics. That project, I'll just give you the working title, is called The Holy Grail. I've been working on it for 6 months. And I just spent 12 hours this weekend working on it, moving it to the next step, polishing and perfecting. But before I can really execute against the Holy Grail, I have to lay out the strategy. The strategy is the most important part. You got to start with the conversion goal, and then work backwards. Let me take this analogy outside of digital marketing into something that we can all relate to. Let's talk about trains, right? Your favorite subject, I'm sure. But with trains, when somebody is a city, a municipality, a county, a state is looking to put in a train, they don't just buy the passenger train, they lay out the train tracks. And before anything is done, they map out that train track all the way to the final destination. It doesn't matter if it's Central Station in New York City or if it's where you get off at Disneyland to go and make purchases of Mickey Mouse hats. They all map it out, right? That train station is your end goal in digital marketing. What do you want people to do? You want them to get out and make a purchase? Well, you've got to have not only the train that carries people, but the train tracks that keep them on the path. So when the video is over, they're ready to get out and take that desired action. There are very few people who know how to do that with text. And if you want to increase the degree of difficulty by a magnitude of 5, add video. And that's all I got to say about that. Video marketing isn't just about creating the video. It's about getting your target customer to that end goal. I grew up in Los Angeles, surrounded by really smart kids that wanted to go on and get into cinema and get an Academy Award, an Oscar, or a Golden Globe. It's totally boring for me. I want ROI. And so as we go through this episode and each and every episode, I'm going to be talking about the power of video, how to use it within a business context, and how you and your team can set yourselves up to sell más rápido, right? All right, so we're going to have some fun doing that. By the way, if this is your first podcast, I've been looking at the numbers. Lots of new people continue to join us. Please, a good place to start would be the very beginning. Episode 1, wirebuzz.com/1, like the number 1, would be a great place to get started. And I walk you through. By episode 2, you're learning about strategy. Now, where am I? We're really at a master level course. Today, I'm going to take a couple steps out from being down in rabbit holes and come back up and talk to you about digital and video and where it's going. But first, let's talk about the kiss of death. Really? Have you been watching the problems that Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, all of these big social networks have been getting into? People are just now starting to see what I told you was happening 20 months ago on this podcast. And now it's common knowledge. People's political views on social media are being censored. Look, I am a former talk show host. I deal with very little politics on here. But if it pertains to digital marketing, then I'm going to bring it up. And if you're a longtime listener of this podcast, you'd know that I tipped you off in December of 2016 in episode 54 and then in episode 61. And what I called El Beso de la Muerte, the kiss of death. By the way, that is one of my favorite people in the entire world, the celebrity chef that I worked with when I was maybe 21 or 22. And he talks like this. And anytime you say, hey, chef, that meal was great, he goes, I know, it is the best, right? So the kiss of death is real and it is alive. And if you're ever lucky enough to create a business that a quarter or a third of the world uses regularly, don't fool yourself into thinking that you're smart enough to know the type of information that is best for other people. If you can resist the temptation to control what other people learn, your business will have a very long, sustainable shelf life. If you start controlling your audience in any way, they will do exactly what children do to parents that want to control, resist, resent, and then reinvent. Whatever it is they loved about that relationship that was good or that social network, and go out and find it elsewhere. So how can I be so sure? Because I live this. I lived this exact censorship scenario with my news site that went crazy viral in the early 2000s when I was getting 36 million visitors a year on zero advertising and zero marketing dollars. And my audience, I didn't censor anybody. I need to know what people think. It's safer when you know what people think. but people were having heated conversations. And eventually, some members of my audience started crying for me to censor other people's comments because, I don't know, it was too aggressive or it wasn't sugar-coated in the right way. Some people thought you had to have what is called an Oreo mentality, something nice, something positive, then be critical, but end with something positive, right? You see this all the time. And on the way of building something lasting and of something valuable to my audience and for myself, I caved in and made a civilized, what I thought was a civilized decision to cleanse my news site of critical comments. El beso de la muerte. That's what it was for me. And it was the kiss of death and the beginning of the end, because like I warned Facebook 20 months ago, as soon as you start censoring, what happens? Random and wild conspiracy theories about your own business start happening. So it's a very weird time to be watching these juggernauts of social media try to navigate themselves through and try to control the information that people get. You know how you know if you really support free speech? You support people who disagree with you. And, you know, I was the youngest kid in my family until my parents adopted two kids from Haiti in 2006. The youngest kid in the family knows that you have a golden opportunity to learn from others when you disagree with them. Yeah, I'm against violence, right? Big shock. But I'm against violence. And that's why I support the First Amendment, always, especially for people who disagree with me. You know, if free speech becomes illegal or unsafe, if censorship becomes acceptable, people express themselves through violence. Ad News is reporting Facebook faces a legal battle over allegedly misrepresenting clients' potential reach with their ad campaigns using Ad Manager tool. And last week, well, Daniel Singer and Project Therapy, a small business that had used Facebook for advertising, launched a class action suit with more than 100 members against the social media giant. And at the heart of the claim is that Facebook's Ad Manager tool purports to reach significantly more users than the official population data. And this has misled advertisers into spending more on Facebook than they otherwise would have. Look, I'm going to put that article on the show notes page. You're not seeing it pop up in the news, but it's important as a digital marketer. We went through something very similar here in Wirebuzz. We've been looking at the ad spend that we were making, and it wasn't correlating to the traffic, right? That's a big problem. So what's your business takeaway with this story, right? Look, if you're going to provide a service to anyone, you have to be super ethical about the metrics and the accounting, even when it's not in your company's best interest, right? Even if your business is the dominant one in your niche. So how can Facebook try to sell a smart speaker, which you know they want to roll out, and it's going to listen to everything said in your home or in your office? How can they roll that out if they can't ethically report on the results and the ads that they're selling? It's a huge problem. All right, now speaking of ethically reporting, you won't believe what's happening in the studio right now. It's, you know, we're doing something right now. We're creating some pillar content. I'll tease what we're doing. We're creating one big piece of content. I want to show you the marketing strategy behind it. So when you see it roll out across social media, you'll have an idea. We're creating one piece of pillar content. And then we're going to chop this content up into multiple pieces. And you're going to use those multiple pieces across different social networks so you can get different content on different social networks in different dimensions. Sometimes it might be text. Sometimes it'll be audio. Sometimes it'll be video. Sometimes it'll be on Instagram TV or on Instagram or on Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter. And we're working on that right now. I want to post a really smart pillar content strategy created by Gary Vaynerchuk. You know, Gary Vay. I'm going to put on the show notes for this episode. We'll put it on the lower thirds so you know where to go. And by saying we're going to put it on the lower thirds, you should know I don't know what episode this is. All right, laying my cards on the table, probably like episode 173 or 174, but I'm a little lost in the production cycle. So right down here, you'll get that URL to know where to go. And off camera, because we're filming this thing right now. I've got the national director of sales for a $1 billion company who asked, check this out, if she could be here on her vacation to study with us for a week. How absolutely cool is that, right? By the way, are you nervous what I'm going to say? You should be, because I don't know what I'm going to say. But it's really interesting to us here at Wirebuzz because we've always been way ahead of the curve, and the curve is going to the most obvious place for video marketing, ROI, right? And often, ROI is not figured out accurately by the marketing team. They hope to just push leads over and that the sales team goes and converts. But you have to be more systematic. You have to start aligning these teams. And on this podcast, as you've been listening over the many months and years, we've done a very consistent job of being this bridge. We want to be the bridge between sales and marketing. If you have an events team, we're the bridge to that. And all of these paths flow back in to ROI. That's the main purpose. It's not about creating videos to make your company look awesome. Everything has to go back to the end goal, which is revenue, right? Basically, this week I have the most overqualified intern following me around right now, and I'm totally honored to share time with her and to show her how we're helping companies grow and to generate revenue at faster rates. Now, let's speak of goals, right? Updates. I got some updates for you on some Wirebuzz shoots 2 weeks ago. That's right. While I was speaking at the Medical Device Marketing Conference in Minneapolis about how to sell marketing devices faster. Now, maybe you heard the audio from that speech in episode 168. Wirebuzz.com/168 is where you can find it. And while I was on stage, you know, doing my thing, the Wirebuzz crew was at the University of Arizona creating videos for them. You know, I'm on the business advisory board for the U of A, and it's a huge honor for me that these people turned my life around. You know my story. I've shared it. I've been quite public about it. And you probably think I got the opportunity to lead Arizona's marketing project because I'm an alumni, and maybe you're right. But I'm also advising Baylor University and Emory University and a couple other institutions I never attended. But the trick is always the same. How do you speak to their target personas? How do you educate people in a very intimate way? And I want to spend some time on that. But 2 weeks ago, it was extra special for me. My Wirebuzz family was at the University of Arizona capturing content for a handful of SALT Center videos. SALT, as a reminder, stands for Strategic Alternative Learning Techniques. They helped me with my learning disabilities. They helped me turn my life around and start making sense and organization. And I see this like disorganization that people have with their marketing. Like I see it, I look at it and I go, they've got ADD in their plan. And what they really need is some strategy that organizes. They need train tracks for each one of their target customers. So let's talk about the SALT Center's digital strategy. Now, if you want to inspire people to take action, you have to communicate to them in a hyper-relevant way, right? The more relevant your information is to that very specific audience, the higher their attention, their engagement, their desired action is going to be. And the reason is communication is much more effective when it feels personal to the recipient. You know, have you ever been in a conversation with somebody and they said your name like in the middle of their sentence and you like perked up a bit, right? You got a little more interested. That's the same thing that happens when marketers communicate in more personal ways with their target audience. I want you to always be thinking about how do you develop a more personal connection with the people that are going through your information, and you will find amazing things happen for your business. Just start thinking about who your target persona groups are. Who are the types of people that you're trying to communicate to, that you're trying to either convince or convert? The SALT Center at the University of Arizona has five types of people, or persona groups that they're trying to communicate to. I want to break them down and use this as an exercise for you and your business, your product or service, right? So we're creating 5 persona website journey pages that are all hyper-relevant to their target customer. They have hyper-relevant videos on each page that explain the unique value proposition that SALT provides to students that have attention disorders, students like I was, right? And if you're listening to this for the first time, go to a great place to go to learn more about my story and my scenario is wirebuzz.com/150. I literally lay all my cards on the table. You're going to hear a great interview about the work that SALT did and the role my parents played. Wirebuzz.com/150. My dad, Howard Hartley, joins me in studio. He actually sits right here and he's very candid about my struggles. But SALT's got 5 target personas that each deserve to be spoken to and with in a very intimate way. And those pages have to correlate to that. Their first persona, students. So what are the students looking for? How SALT can help them, right? So that page is all about how SALT can help you. And it walks them through the discovery. Another persona group are parents. That page, how SALT helps your student, right? The next persona group are educators. That page is how SALT can help educators all over the world help students with learning disabilities. Then the next persona group that has a page, alumni. How well SALT alums like me are doing in the real world now that we've got foundational skills and talents to be able to go out and compete. And the last group, the fifth one, are donors. And that page is how you can help students that would benefit from SALT Center support, right? Each one of those people that arrive, a parent arrives in a different place, looking for different information that needs different reassurance, that has different common objections, different frequently asked questions than a student would be looking at. And traditionally, SALT has pushed them into the same journey. But really, every institution has, and every business has, if you understand who your target customer is, create something really, really intimate. Look, your business takeaway at this point in the podcast should be rather obvious. I'm trying to be somewhat repetitive in the hopes that it gets you looking at these things in the way that helps best communicate to your target customer. Your business, your organization, if you want to be a more compelling, more convincing, more efficient communicator, always be hyper-relevant with your content, all right? Always think about how can you communicate with people in a more efficient way. And you'll see in your metrics on the back end, inside of the analytics where all of the answers live, that if you don't speak to one specific target customer, to their needs, pain points, and sensibilities, you'll have a very large drop-off rate. This is where people don't understand the merger between a marketing nerd and a video creator, because you have to be willing to look in there. And when you start to look into the analytics, you will see, oh, wow, 40% or 60% of the people that started that video dropped off. So why did they do that? Because it wasn't relevant to them. But you should be asking yourself, how do you do this and remain on budget? And it's actually really simple. We do it all the time. In fact, we just did it on Thursday night. Members of the Wirebuzz video crew stayed here in the office late with me and recorded my 1-hour speech on how to use video to sell your medical devices faster. Now, the primary reason that we were capturing this content is because many people at the medical device conference asked me for it. They wanted to share the video with people in their office, and the group that hosted me, they wouldn't allow me to record it in the first place. So when I got back to the office, by the way, that's why I just recorded the audio. I said to them, well, if I can't record the video, can I record the audio and share that? Yeah, that's fine. That's not going to compete with the people that paid to be in the room. So I knew when I got back to the office that I needed to connect up with the crew and film me walking through the speech, because I knew it would be valuable to people. And I also knew that if I made a few minor adjustments strategically and then within the script, I could make a generic version of that speech for businesses outside of the medical device space. So I created a couple of different opens and closes for the video, and the editors, as they're going through the process, are going to create two different versions for different audiences. You got it? Of course, I could split it down into five or six audiences, but at some point it becomes chaos, right? And when you market like a boss, you've got to think, how can I repurpose this content? Just like we're doing with this podcast, right? With this podcast, we've created, as I mentioned earlier, a piece of pillar content. We're recording it. We're using video. Why video? Video is the king of the content jungle. Top of the food chain, baby. You can strip off the audio for a podcast. You could cut it up. And I could get into a cool pose like this, right? And then you could put some images on it, right? You could use the audio and add text over it. You could do a variety of different things. You could create a webinar out of it. Marketing boss needs to always be thinking about how do they create one pillar content and repurpose it in multiple ways, because that's how you stay efficient. So when we went down to Tucson for the University of Arizona, we created content that could be repurposed across each of those target personas, and it happens during the same shoot. But that all takes, just like getting the train to the final station, pre-planning. Pre-planning allows for precision. It allows for budgets to come down, and most people don't spend the time. They just go right in to content creation. All right, we filmed the third day in a three-part filming session with a rock star plastic surgery center last week. The doctor's a really special guy. The first time I met him, I was actually in the waiting room at Honor Health Hospital in Scottsdale, Arizona. I was sitting with the best man at my wedding, my dad, as my stepmom was coming out of breast cancer surgery. And her surgery was just wrapping up. The doctor came out to calm our nerves and let us know that she was recovering nicely and everything went well. And when my wife was diagnosed a year later, she ended up picking a different reconstruction surgeon, not because she didn't like my stepmom's doctor, but because she really hit it off with the second doctor we interviewed. And 2 weeks ago, he performed breast reconstructive surgery on an actual client of mine, somebody that we've been servicing for a long time, a very special doctor. My stepmom's surgeon didn't even know who I was. I didn't hit him up. I didn't like solicit him that, you know, we're like video marketing gurus when we were in the waiting room. So how'd he find out about us? Well, Vidyard, you know who they are? They're the video marketing automation platform, right? They deal with all enterprise level clients. Well, Vidyard asked me to keynote a national marketing event for them. And in the audience was the marketing team for that doctor. And their office happened to be right down the street. Small world, right? So they approached us. And now it's my opportunity to get to help him. You see, we're creating a series of really high quality, cinematic, really glamorous, stunning videos. Now, great video content isn't enough. Remember, anybody can make a video. Making the video isn't the hard part. You have to be sharing an airtight argument. That's why when you start with strategy, that strategy and that end goal get handed off to the person who's a copywriter. That copywriter is trained in the art of persuasion, and that gets baked into the video, right? That airtight argument from one video needs to align with the next. So each of the videos work together almost as an indoctrination sequence. You could do this as a playlist. You could do it in a variety of different ways. You could think about what Wirebuzz did. One of the most common objections that people had when they showed up, when they came here to meet with me, was they would say, "Hey, Todd, you know, this is great. We don't really need a video. I hate to break it to you, dude. We need ROI. How do you guarantee our projects generate ROI? And I heard it so often that we decided, because we already knew how to do it, and we knew our competitors didn't know how to do it, that we would create a mini course, a 5-part web-based mini course. You can get access to it on our website. I'll give you the URL in a second, but it teaches our secrets to making sure, well, a couple of things, that if you get started with video, you know how to carve out a return on investment at the end. And the second thing, the second reason we wanted to do it is we wanted to handle that objection. If you're in sales, start listening to the common objections that come up from your customer. Literally, that is gold. That's like market surveys, right? Companies pay thousands of dollars to know what their target customer is asking for, and you need to be sensitive to what they're asking for. And when I say sensitive, I don't mean like in the modern version of, if I'm offended, I get the right to freak out. That's not what I'm saying. You need to be sensitive, like feeling the pulse of your target customer, understand what they're asking for, and then figure out how to position that for them. Because since we created that 5-part web-based video mini course on guaranteeing your projects generate ROI, nobody brings it up to me anymore. And we started converting at a much higher rate because I handled that right at the beginning like a boss. It's a game changer. What is it for your business that people continuously ask that you're almost tired of answering, that you can create a video course and serve it up and really pre-frame what your unique value proposition is, right? All right, so this breast surgeon who's a reconstructive surgeon, really, it's a tricky one for me today, but he needed an indoctrination sequence. And if a potential patient only sees the first video, you have to be skilled enough to retarget that viewer, right? Because not everything's an impulse buy. So you have to be skilled enough to retarget that viewer and bring them into the second video in the series. And patients that go through this series of videos, they're going to end up hiring this doctor for their procedure. And the thing I love the most about the videos that we're creating for him is the only thing I really can't control. It's so weird to say this, but thank you, Siri. Yes, these are videos that you got to love, Siri. You know, we have Sarah Scott and the Wirebuzz team. And anytime I say Sarah's name, I'll go, "Hey, Sarah." And it didn't happen this time, but Siri always pops up, but never pops up when I say Siri's name. All right. So the thing that I love about this surgeon's videos, as I mentioned, is the only thing I can't control. And it is his tonality. And we need to talk about tonality on this podcast. Because if you want to resonate with somebody, if you want to get your audience to love you, tonality is super important. Now, I've got some of the video creators in this room with me. And I think you guys know that when we filmed with him, his tonality was intimate. It was personal, right? Just think about the reaction that you have when you see a speaker and the tone that they use. I want you to think about your business videos as getting people to lean in a more intimate way. One of the reactions, one of the reasons, and please, everybody who's listening to this, please brace yourself because I'm about to bring up the president. Brace yourself. One of the things that people have a hard time with is the tonality. Maybe even more than the message. The tonality feels different, right? So when you're creating, by the way, small disclaimer, that is the end of the portion about the presence. So everybody can just relax. One of the things that's great about a business video is when you get people to lean in, when you get them to feel intimate, and if there's a tone that needs to be used. Now, it's a very soft, intimate way on camera. And it's super rare. Most people on camera overproject, like they're speaking on stage at an auditorium. And the videos that that have the best effect on customers are the ones where the vocal tonality is soft and inviting. People love intimate conversations. Think about it. You're the same way. If you communicate with people in tones between 1 to 10, and 10 being yelling, how do you prefer to be talked with, right? Like, one of the things that I absolutely love about my relationship with my wife is our tonality. We talk in twos and threes to each other. And if one of us raises our tone and all of a sudden we're lifting up our tonality to maybe a five or a six, the other one's like, are you okay? Everything okay? You got to understand that when you're using your videos, because if you can get people to a really sweet spot, they're going to buy from you at faster rates. But that tonality also has to come from a very sincere place inside. And I'm always willing, when I'm working with people, to work with them on like bringing that down. Be comfortable. If you've got a boss or a client that you have on camera, to give them guidance on that tonality. Speaking of love, can we talk about your target customers and their language of love, right? You got to understand their language of love so you can communicate to them more effectively. Addressing preference is the first step in earning a sale. Everything that's in your refrigerator, that's what you prefer, right? That's how it got there. At the office, inside of this right here, this Yeti, I prefer 2 scoops of ice. This is how it goes down. 2 scoops of ice, 1 inch of cold brew, and 1 can of coconut water. That is my jam. And if you can figure out what people's preferences are, they will buy from you at faster and faster rates. So what is it that your customer prefers, right? You'll always be in their B2B or B2C buying decisions if you understand that. And Google just released information about what your target customer prefers. They rolled it out last week. If you want to hear what your target customer prefers, let's do that right now. When it comes to learning about products, YouTube users are 3 times more likely to prefer watching a YouTube tutorial video than reading the product's instructions. You see, people prefer watching tutorial videos over reading about it. Are you kidding me? iPhones and MacBooks. They don't even come with instructional manuals anymore. Have you thought about that? Nobody reads them, but people sure love watching tutorial videos. And if you're saying to yourself, yeah, Todd, but that's a stat that's really about YouTube, and it shows people prefer watching tutorial videos on YouTube, you are missing what your target customers are saying. You see, think about it. You're missing the biggest takeaway of them all. You see, who are YouTube viewers? Who are they? Are they like some strange anomaly of people? Is it like a small subset of people that live in maybe outside of town? There are 1.6 billion people, which is one of the largest preference studies of all time. If 1.6 billion people prefer watching videos, wouldn't they prefer watching videos about your product on your own website? I mean, we already know this. So while I was writing this podcast episode, I started thinking about HubSpot. You know, HubSpot's entire online certification course is in video. You know that? They're not even a video company. They're a marketing company, a marketing automation platform. You know, sure, you could read their course. They've got several of them. I'm a Hubstar, so I've taught their inbound certification course, their HubSpot certification course, and their HubSpot for Sales certification course, right? You could go in and read the text if you wanted to, but nobody really does. Reading's hard. It feels like work. And if you want someone to do something, make sure that something is super easy for them to do. It's like make the hurdle lower if you want them to jump over it, right? And while preparing for this episode, I asked my friends at HubSpot, I hit them up and said, you know, how do your customers prefer to learn? And guess what? They crunched the numbers for me and they replied back saying, and this is a direct quote, "Yo, Todd," which I always think is funny. If you can get somebody to say "yo" back to you, they look at you as a friend. When we compare all of HubSpot's content, videos, articles, podcasts, practical text-based exercises, quizzes, ebooks, you compare all of HubSpot's content, 63% of all of HubSpot content consumption comes from video. Why? Well, because video is how your target customer prefers to learn. It is your target customer's language of love, right? So I shared this topic with Marcus Krieg when I got into the office, and Marcus, of course, you know who he is our director of strategy, said, "Well, you should find out how many videos they have on their website." So right before I walked into the studio, I hit them up with another email. "How many videos do you have on your site?" And they said they've got a video on most of their important landing pages. I wonder why they do that, right? Because they're interested in conversion, just like you are. So think about how you can transfer the information from your head into your prospect's head so they can learn at faster rates. And when Dan Tyer, one of HubSpot's rock stars, was here in studio on episode 140, he said 80% of HubSpot conversions happen in the top half of the page. Why? Because that's where their video lives, right? So now that you know that, now that you understand what your target customer's language of love is, you really should be thinking about how you create different paths for different types of people, speak to them in intimate ways, and then bring them along the journey. Now, often people know the right thing to do. And knowing isn't the hard part. It's getting off your ass and doing something that might feel awkward, might feel different, but doing something with that golden information. So let me break it down just one more time. If you have a product, if you have a service, which is pretty much all of us, right? There are a minimum of three types of videos that you need. The first video. That first video is called an overview video or an explainer video, which, even though they have different names, is exactly the same thing. We use them interchangeably in our office. An overview video or an explainer video, right? That happens on the top part of the page. The second video is a customer testimonial story, which needs to be featured in a very tactical way. If you've got a persona that you're speaking with, let's use the Salt Center example. And if you're talking, that page is for educators, and you're trying to convince educators on how to follow the Salt Center principles to better educate their students, then that testimonial video, that testimonial story, needs to feature the person in that persona group, that is the customer, right? How your product or service helped them. So it would feature a teacher raving about how Salt Center principles help them better educate their students with learning disabilities. Does that make sense? Most people make a golden mistake with the testimonial video. They think it's 2007. They push a prospect up against a wall. They kind of look like the latest Nick Nolte mugshot from when you go into a police station. And that person looks into the camera and they say, "I've used product XYZ because," and nobody watches that anymore. You got to get people to the end. Tell a powerful story. That story needs to have a light music bed. We love music. It inspires us. It needs to have B-roll, supportive footage that takes your audience along a journey and shows that persona at work, doing something that's relevant and related to that customer story, that target persona's story. And the third video that you need is a service tutorial video, right? Which is like, you know, people are three times more likely to learn and watch from that. And each of these videos have different uses and they belong in different stages along your customer journey. But when you get that right, people go through the buying process and they start to really formulate the plan of how your product, your service impacts their life. And I wish you the opportunity to get what I get to see all the time, how fast sales becomes when you do it the right way. You know, we have a large laboratory client, many of them, but one in particular that I'm thinking of right now, and they're testing facility. Doctor's offices and hospitals all over the world send patient blood samples in every day. And while I was having drinks with them in Pittsburgh with their team, one of them mentioned that they had a very high resubmission rate, meaning like something like 20%+ of all their tests submitted from all over the world need to be redone. Reason? Well, it's not just as easy as drawing blood. You have to use the right size needle. You have to fill up the right number of blood vials. You can't shake the blood in the vials. And the tubes need to be packaged in the right temperature and shipped the right way to protect the accuracy of the results. Now, that's a really high bar for success. And that led to a very high resubmission rate. So by the time we finished our second beer, we agreed to create a tutorial training video that every nurse administering the blood draw would have to watch and pass and be certified and knowing the information before they could submit their first blood test. And by the way, before I go any further, let me just hit you with this right now. What is the process called for making an incision in a vein with a needle and drawing blood? I want you to think about it. Do you know the answer? Does anybody in this room know the answer? Phlebotomy, right? It's a big, tricky word. Dyslexic person like me, challenging word to spell. And after we created that how-to for phlebotomist videos and got them certified, we were able to decrease the resubmission rates from that test down into the low single digits, which for a company that's got a ton of tests sent into their labs every day, that's an enormous amount of money and time saved. Tutorial videos are huge for making businesses run more efficiently. Now, your business takeaway here, well, it should be obvious. Videos how people prefer to learn. That's why people are 4 times more likely to watch a video than to read text. You see, video is your target customer's language of love. Let them love what you do, right? So borrow this discovery generated from 1.6 billion people on YouTube and start presenting videos about your product or your service on your website. And if you want to get access to my ROI mini course, where I teach the secrets to guaranteeing your videos generate an ROI, all you have to do is go to wirebuzz.com/ROI. Just 3 little letters make the big difference in if you love your work or you hate it. And that all starts with mapping it out at the very beginning. If this episode was valuable to you, if it made you a smarter marketer, if it made you a more effective salesperson or a lead for your business or your clients, all I ask is that you go to iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. Hit the subscribe button, and each and every episode will be sent directly to your mobile device. And please leave a really honest rating and review. I learn because I want to polish and perfect, and without your reviews, well, there's not as much polishing and perfecting going on. I'm hungry to learn. Remember, I'm a free speech guy. So if it sucks, let me know. If you love it, let me know. If there's anybody that you're rooting for, that you're hoping that their business gets to the next level, please share this podcast. And I'll continue to give you the latest news in digital marketing and video. And I'll bring it in a very sensible way. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. That's where you're going to get the latest episodes. And I will continue to do my job. I can't thank you enough. And you know who you are for all of the emails and encouragement. I really appreciate it. I know there are a lot of people out there that have sent me questions. I'm going to digest some of those questions. I'll probably just do an episode just on the questions because over the last couple of weeks, they've been filling up. And I owe you all very smart answers. So be patient. I'll be doing that, but I am very grateful to have you in the audience. And I know that if I bring something up, like I made a joke about tequila and how the best stories all start with tequila, 3 days later, You guys sent me tequila. I know that when I talked about my traveling kryptonite is chocolate-covered popcorn with caramel, and it showed up here at the office. I know you guys love doing that, and I'm grateful for it. But I'm also, I can't eat all that stuff. I will eat it, but I can't eat it all. And I'm grateful for it. I love the interaction with all of you, and I love hearing about your businesses. I know a lot of you are in the same space as me. I know you're looking to me to help advocate and defend for you and your business, and I'm honored that you look to me to guide and advise along the way. Until next episode, I wish you all a lot of prosperity, and I will continue to do my job so when you get into your conference room with your team, you are a video marketing master. Peace.